Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, choir. We're a little thin today, aren't we? I'd like to think that... Oh, hi, Sonny. Well, there are a few people in this group today who helped me a great deal last Sunday morning. Sonny's one of those people, so as is Margie. Did you help, Ginger? Yeah, but did you help me get to the hospital? No, that's what I meant. Melissa did too, and her back is out today, so hopefully not helping me is not what did it. Okay, just so you know, I fell. Just fell. Nothing there in the way. Nothing collapsed. No, I didn't hit anyone. They did tell me after I got the cast not to use it as a weapon. So maybe they knew something. This will be this way for a few more weeks. And yes, there's still pain. And yes, I'm on pain pills, although not as much as yesterday and not as much as this afternoon. Looking forward to another real pain pill this afternoon. But when Victor asked me to preach on Mother's Day, I was delighted. But two thoughts have come to me this week, and they might seem a little not connected to you. One was that this is Mother's Day, and the other was, aren't the roses beautiful? At least they were before we got all that rain. Now, you may wonder why that's connected. Well, I'm going to tell you another story about Hugo, Oklahoma. And we only lived there 3 years, but I think I was just at the right stage where I remembered things. When we came to church on Mother's Day, there were roses cut from people's rose bush in the sanctuary, in the lobby, waiting for us. And you were asked, do you want a red rose or do you want a white rose? Or do you need a red rose or a white rose? You only wanted a white rose if your mother was no longer living. We did this again on Father's Day. Each of those 2 days, all those years, we wore a red rose or a white rose. I remember distinctly because my father was wearing a white rose because his father had died years before. So maybe that's one of the reasons that it sticks with me. But what it did, in my opinion, looking back, is divide us. We had red and white. There was a division. And today would be a white rose day for me. And it would be the first Sunday for white roses for several people in this group. For Victor, for Melissa, for Linda, many of you who I may be missing. This may be your first Mother's Day without your mom. And I remember that day. I remember being told that life is never the same after your mother dies. What a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it was different. It was sad and it was painful for a while. It's been 25 years, and it's not as bad, but it's still there. They also told me the first is the worst, and it was. And yet, I still miss my mother, my grandmothers, both of them. I remember these women with love. My grandmother Smith, my mother's mother, and we did call her grandmother. That was her name. She allowed us to be free and live outside the box in a way that the Baptist preacher's wife just couldn't. I got to play cards. But she also pampered me, probably in a too much. I remember a week when I was 12, staying with her in the summer, sleeping late, and I mean till 11 o'clock, getting up and having ice cream and fresh strawberries for breakfast. That's one of my memories of Mabel. Mabel Venus Vertrees Smith. Yeah, quite a name. They used to have some names, didn't they? Now, my mother, whose name was Margaret Jo Smith Williams, and she went by Jo, she encouraged me to get an education, albeit she wanted me to be a teacher so I could have a fallback position in case my husband didn't make enough money, and so I would have the summers off to be with the children. Teaching was a lot different in the 50s than it is now. But I was encouraged to get that college degree. I actually was told if I was 21 or only lacked 3 hours graduating from college, I could get married. So there was no doubt that I was getting an education. That was a given. And I think it was for others in this room. When I went to law school, Mother was very proud of me. It was a different life than she had ever thought that would happen. But of course, that's the difference in the generations now. My grandmother was proud too. I still have the, 40 years later, I have the letter opener my grandmother gave me as a present for graduation from law school. Yes, I had a wonderful mother. The other time that she was brought up in my life was when I was ordained as a deacon at the First Baptist Church. My father participated in that, and in the Baptist Church and in other churches, we do what's called laying on of hands, which means you kneel, and people who, in some churches, people who are ordained, and in some other churches, everyone comes and puts their hands on your shoulders and prays over you, even in your ear. And my father said to me, "Your mother would be proud of you." Well, I was in tears at that point because that was a big deal in the Baptist church to have a woman deacon. And I had to change churches for that to even be a possibility. But I received encouragement from other women along my life. To begin with, my father's sister and his cousin were great supporters. His sister was the one who got him to college, and she had wanted to be a doctor, but that was not possible in the 30s and 40s for her. I had a third grade teacher, Miss Dillard, who read to us after lunch every day from Winnie the Pooh, and who encouraged me to do all I could do. I had a high school teacher, Mr. Hamilton, who took me out of the ordinary math class and put me in his advanced SMSG. Some of you who are old enough will remember that's what they used to call advanced math. Put me in the advanced math class, which made a big difference on how I can analyze numbers now. When I would, after undergraduate, I had a woman doctor, Sarah DiPergio, who said, not only did she say, apply to law school. She said, here's the money to take the test and to apply to law school. That's probably the reason I ended up in public health, because she was a deputy commissioner of health by the time she retired. Another person that encouraged me along the way was the commissioner of health, Dr. Joan Leavitt. I had just come to work for her and found out I was pregnant with my second child, and was telling her, okay, I know you hired me, but I'm pregnant. And she said, I hired your mind, not your body. And you have to bring that baby to work with you. I also was encouraged by my mentor at PSR in my field placement. I was encouraged by Kathy McCallie when I decided to go to seminary. All these women and men have supported me along the way. You don't get here without that. We all need support. That's my story, and I know you have one. But if your mother was not the loving, encouraging type, don't worry about it. Don't become obsessed. Just look to other women and men to find your nurturance, to find what you need. No matter how wonderful or terrible your mother may have been, there are others who are ready to feel the need to nourish you. Nourishment is the trait I want to stress as part of mother love or the spirit of mothering, as Victor said. And I believe anyone can fulfill that. Just look around at this church, in this congregation, people who have stepped up to be the nourisher, the mother. I'm going to do what Victor says is an altar call, because I'm going to ask you to stand up. And guess where I'm going to start? I'm going to start with you foster parents. I want you all to stand up, and stand up and don't sit down unless you have to do something with your baby. And then I want the adoptive parents to stand up. Come on, all those of you who have adopted children. Then I want everyone, Then I want everyone who is on the care team, who writes letters, who goes and visits people in our congregation who need something. Nancy standing as able. Okay. Now I want you mothers, you women who have borne children. We'll call that a mother today. These are the people that we celebrate. And I bet you that there are others of you who didn't stand who do this job too. How many of you, keep standing, how many of you in this congregation have picked up a baby during a service? Victor, stand up. How many of you are, I forgot a big category. How many of you are expecting a child in the next few months? How many of you have taken food to someone who was sick? How many of you have visited a shut-in? John Hines, you better stand up. John visits Bob Nichols every week. If you know Bob Nichols, that's a big deal. Now, how can I get the rest of you to stand up? Kent, I've seen you hold a baby. Don't you give me that. And Larry, didn't you pass that baby to Larry? Uh-huh. And Jim, don't you have some grandchildren you take care of? And Christy, don't you help take care of those children? Okay, let's see. Who else? I'm sure glad I put this microphone, aren't you?
Bring it on.
Let's see. How have you ever helped anybody? Well, okay, we can pass Phil. No, that's not true. That's not true. I know you have. I know you have. Susan and Megan, you help other students. That's nurturing. That's nurturing.
How about changing diapers?
Yes. Who's changed a diaper? Who's changed a diaper? Anybody else has changed a diaper? No.
Suzanne, did anybody help anybody, mother anybody, through the AIDS crisis?
There you go. That was a big thing, yes. You don't have to be a woman. That's right. That's right, Robin. That's exactly what it means. Yes. Uh-huh. Because my aim was to get you all standing. And I want us to appreciate each other. You all will have to clap because I can't. But clap for each other. Okay, you can sit down now. My own mother did not live to see me become a deacon in the Baptist church, nor to go to seminary, nor to hear me preach or bless communion. She did not get to spend her old age observing her influence going forward. But I never forget her sweet, non-judgmental attitude towards others. She taught me as a young child that color of skin was not a division. I want to believe that she would have thought the same thing about gender issues and about faith issues. I know that my basis for believing what I do about both of those issues goes back to that basic teaching. The basic teaching that started for them in the 40s about color and race, that division. Divisions in life are not based on how you look or who you love or what name you use for God. If there are divisions, they may be based on what stage of life you're in. Losing a parent is one of those stages. My own family is experiencing the current loss of the last parent as Bob's mother is in hospice with pancreatic cancer. Soon I'll be the oldest generation, the oldest woman in either family. We cannot know really how we'll feel when we get to that next stage. You can't know what it's going to feel like to be a mom. You can't know what it's like to send them to kindergarten. You can't know what it's like to send them off to college. You don't even want to think about it, I know, Elizabeth. You can't know what it's like to be at their wedding. You can't know what it's like when your daughter goes to have that baby until you've been there. And you can't know what it's like to lose a parent until you have. That may be a division that we have. But what still crosses over all of that is love. You can stand in the place of someone's mother or child or grandchild. Now is the time to do that. I challenge you to share love today with someone who is missing their mother or wishing they had a better mother or watching their mother fade away. Love and support that person. Write a personal letter today, not an email, a letter, a card that actually comes to the house. Do that this afternoon and let that person know what they mean to you. No matter the division you may see, including stages of life, no matter, find someone to nourish. Choose them. Remember that Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love each other." Amen.